We're starting to be able to fly again, and many people are reluctant. Many people will tell you they don't want to fly because they think the chances of catching COVID-19 on a plane are high. Well, IATA, the International Air Transport Association, says otherwise. It's set out to demonstrate what it says is the very low incidence of in-flight COVID-19 transmission, a study of cases and all kinds of analyses of aircraft data. James Wiltshire joins me now on the line from Geneva. He is IATA's Assistant Director in External Affairs. James, thanks for your time. How did you come to this conclusion? What is the basis of this finding?
Thank you. And first of all, good afternoon and great to be able to join you. So there are really, we looked at this from two different angles. The first thing was we looked carefully with all of our airline members for every case that we could find of possible transmission on board where we knew that somebody who had had COVID had flown, and then we did follow up also with the public health authorities to see whether those contacts had been followed up after the flight and whether any of the secondary people in the who had flown in the vicinity of the sick person had themselves contracted COVID. And that gave us a very large data set and showed very, very small numbers. Indeed, we found bringing together what we're fairly sure or what we suspect might be cases of transmission on board, only 44 cases out of the 1.2 billion passenger flights that have taken place so far this year. So that gives us very low numbers. And then the other thing is we wanted to understand is, well, why, given how easily this virus appears to spread in so many different contexts, why is it the case that the aircraft environment appears to be much safer than many other settings? And that's where we worked with the various aircraft manufacturers, in particular Airbus, Boeing, and Embraer, all of whom did some very technical analysis of the airflow on board, which confirmed this very low risk of transmission and presented some hypotheses for why that is. And there are a number of things. Firstly, obviously, you know, when you're sitting on an aircraft, it's different to being on a bus or on a train. Most people are facing forward. There's very high seat back in front of you, which presents a natural barrier to the to airflow, to any coughs or breath. The airflow is often from the ceiling to the floor, so the air particles are forced downwards. And then aircraft use these very, very high efficiency filters, known as HEPA filters, very similar to what you use inside a hospital operating theater. And these filters, A, extract pretty much anything nasty that could be in the air, and the air is also recirculated very frequently, every 2 to 3 minutes. All of these factors together give this very high level of confidence that's reflected in the very low numbers.
It certainly doesn't. That certainly doesn't reflect public perception. If you go back before COVID-19, there was always a perception that if you flew, you were likely to pick up a bug or a virus on the plane. That planes were relatively unhealthy places for airborne diseases. That was certainly the perception. Has anything changed in the airline systems since COVID-19? I wouldn't have thought you'd have time to have a significant change.
No, most of these features are, you know, the use of HEPA filters is not new. Those have been in the aircraft technology for many years now. They are common to just about all jet aircraft in particular. And that high rate of air exchange is not new. But airlines, obviously, you know, aren't being complacent, and all airlines are cleaning surfaces because it's not just obviously airflow that can be the channel of transmission of COVID-19. It can also be from droplets on surfaces. So airlines are increasing the frequency of the cleaning and disinfection protocols, and there are obviously other changes that are part of the flying experience now that weren't at the start of the outbreak. And it must be said that those 44 cases I referred to, the vast majority of those were from the very early days of the pandemic, before some of the measures such as the wearing of face coverings on board, different boarding flows, reduced onboard service, and efforts to remove to reduce the degree of movement within the cabin during flight were put in place. So those additional layers further reduce the possibility of transmission, and making that low risk even lower still.
That number, 44 cases, seems improbably low given the 1.2 billion passengers travelling. I mean, how can you know after the fact that people have got COVID-19 from flying? I mean, is it possible to know that? Surely it's conceivable. There are many, many more people who did get it. We just don't know.
We've looked really hard, as I said. You know, we, with our airline, so IATA represents 290 airlines around the world, who in pre-COVID times represent more than 83% of global air traffic. We followed up with a lot of those in detail. We have a community of medical advisors of the different airlines, and we've gone and surveyed them for known cases of primary cases, that's people who had COVID at the time of travel. And then we've tried to do the follow-up, the contact tracing, which is so critical to containing the virus. And in collaboration with the public health authorities, said, we know there was a primary case here. And here are the people that were sitting around those that primary case. Let's do the follow-up to see whether we know of any so-called secondary cases, which would indicate transmission. And we've done that with a very large sample. One particular part of that, we did very detailed follow-up, including over 100,000 passengers with three airlines with really detailed contact tracing, and we didn't find any passenger secondary transmission. And so that's what gives us confidence that the risk is low. Whether those 44 is the full extent of it, that's not necessarily, we can't guarantee that. But even if we were out by a factor of 10, that's still a very small number. And it's not just IATA saying this. There's a paper being published recently in the Journal of Travel Medicine with some learned academic researchers who've tried to do the similar follow-up and reach very similar conclusions.
James, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much indeed. IATA's Assistant Director in External Affairs, James Wiltshire, on the line there from Geneva.